This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry. And in this session, this is an audio version of a message that was first published back in May of the year 2020. It's a two-part message. This is part number one. Now, the reason why I'm giving you the dates between the time that this was published and this happens to be the April of the year 2024. So that's about 4 years or so ago. And the reason why I'm giving you these dates is because in transcribing these messages into audio, if there's been any extended length of time, I want you to know that during the transcribing, I might be making reference to certain people, places, things or events that took place during that time, which is one of the reasons why I included it in the message, that may or may not be relevant for today. However, as I always say, when it comes down to the Word of God, His Word is always relevant. Yesterday, today, and forever. It is always relevant. It never changes. It never ceases to be relevant. And for those of you that are exposed to the Word, whether it's the written Word or by audio, you would do well to take heed to it and adjust your lives accordingly to it. Now, our subject scripture is taken from the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. We're going to go to chapter number 33, and we're going to read two verses, verses 2 and 3. If you have the scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. This is God speaking to Ezekiel, and he says, "Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people." Now I'm going to stop right there. The title for this message is The Sword of the Lord, and this is part number one. Now, if you take a look at the above scriptures, or whether you've heard it or not, I would suggest that you get a Bible and read it for yourselves. Read them carefully. Now, to finish the thought, read the following verses, which are a continuation of the above scripture, where, you know, I stopped at, if he he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Now, if we go down to verse number 4, it says, "Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Verse number 5. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Let's stop right there. Tell me, what message do you see? To the ordinary person, it probably doesn't mean that much. However, to those that name the name of Christ, it is saying a whole lot. And quite frankly, their souls could very much be at stake. God is speaking to the prophet Ezekiel and telling him something that is quite interesting. He is to tell his people, Ezekiel is to tell his people that when he brings the sword, talking about when God brings the sword upon the land, that if the people put someone in the position of being a watchman, and when he, the watchman, sees the sword, he is to sound the alarm to the people. Now, what I want you to see is this. You will notice, if you're reading the text from the published version, I capitalized some words here. The capitalized portion of the first verse in the scripture, in the subject scripture, says, this is God speaking, when I bring the sword upon the land. What is the first thing that jumps out at you? The first thing is that word, when. That tells me that it is not a question of it being a possibility, but rather a certainty. It then goes on to say, God speaking, that he is going to bring the sword upon the land. This is where most people, and especially most Christians, seem to have a problem. You see, most of those outside of Christ tend to look at problems as just things that just happen by chance. It is all part of life. Sometimes things just happen. It's just good or bad luck. Most Christians, on the other hand, take the view that it is the devil and set about rebuking him, pronouncing the blood of Jesus over the situation, and commanding him to go in Jesus' name. They will claim all the scriptures that they know that promise victory over the forces of evil. What they fail to realize is this. If God is saying, I am sending this trouble, then you can rebuke, plead the blood of Jesus, and every other thing that is biblically correct, and it won't do you a bit of good. In fact, it could end up harming you even more. How? If God is sending it, That means it is punishment for something the people are doing that he doesn't like. Let me put it to you this way. When the people are busy doing all that God says for them to do, the enemy will try attacking them. But because they are within the realm of his protection, they can't be touched. And as such, they have power over the enemy. On the other hand, however, if they are being disobedient to God, meaning they are sinning, then they are outside of that realm of protection and as such are fair game for the enemy and will remain so until such time as they repent and turn from their evil ways. If we look at 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse number 14, this is God speaking. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Notice the terminologies out here. If you're reading this from the published version, I have capitalized. He says, if my people, and then he says, turn from their wicked ways, then he says, and will heal their land. Do you see what God is saying? Now I'm going into depth on this now. He is addressing not the people, but his people. There is a difference. We all know that God created all of us, so therefore we are his creation, made in his image. However, that is as far as it goes when it comes to whom he supports. His word only applies to those that have put their total faith in him and his word, Jesus Christ. All others are estranged to him. Next, he says, his people need to turn from their wicked ways. Not the people, but his people. And if they will do that, then he will heal their land. Believe it or not, God's people and their actions hold the key to what happens in their land. This nation, as well as the world, is caught in this pandemic called the coronavirus. Now, as you know, like I mentioned earlier, this is one of the reasons, one of those instances where I'm addressing something that was relevant back then, which is not all that relevant today. Because back then, if you were alive back then, you could remember all of the hell everybody was going through. People would urged not to go to work, not to congregate in large numbers, basically stay in your house, wear masks, stay a so many feet from each other when you, if you had to go out and you were in line somewhere. I mean, you know, there's a whole bunch of mess going on that wouldn't allow large groups of people to get. I mean, you know, it was something else. Millions of people lost their lives due to this coronavirus. They were urging everybody to take vaccines. You know, it was a mess. That was what it was back then. It's not necessarily like that today, but this is one of those instances why I give you the information at the beginning of this message. Now back to the message. It says people are looking at it as something that man can, with the help of scientists, politicians, and the cooperation of everyone, defeat this scourge that threatens to destroy tens of thousands of lives in this nation, and hundreds of thousands or even millions of lives worldwide. To the Christian, we are supposed to see it differently. We are to see it not from the eyes of man, but the eyes of God. This is where the watchman comes in. A watchman is a person whose job it is to watch over or protect anything or person of value. It is their job to sound the alarm anytime they see something that appears to be a threat against those things or persons that they are assigned to protect. Consequently, their security, these people's security, rests solely in the hands of the watchman. When it comes to people, when the watchman sounds the alarm, the people are supposed to react in a way that will preserve their lives. Now, obviously, the watchman has to be able to identify the threat and be able to tell the people what they need to do to protect themselves. Once the watchman sounds the alarm and tells the people what they need to do, then it is up to the people to follow those instructions so that they will be safe. If they do not follow those instructions and perish, then the responsibility of their deaths rests solely on them. They were warned and did not listen. However, since they did not listen, the watchman is blameless for what happened to them. But now, let's look at what comes next. Ezekiel chapter 33, we're in the same chapter, but now we're going to go to verse number 6. And let's read what it says there. It says, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. The job of a watchman comes with its benefits, but it also has its hazard. The main hazard being, if the watchman sees the trouble coming and does not warn the people, and some of them died because they weren't warned, then the watchman will be responsible to God for their deaths. Now, here's the thing. The terminology of "if the watchman see" means, among other things, that he has to be alert and always watching. He can't be distracted with other things, drunk or asleep. When I was in the military as a security guard, guarding aircraft and munitions, I had to be on constant vigilance, looking for any sign that would reveal that an intruder had come into my area of responsibility. I had the responsibility to notify my superiors of any situation that was a threat so that the proper response could be made to find and neutralize that threat. The key being, I had to be able to recognize it. Today, the watchman carries another name. It is the preacher. He or she, depending on circumstances, is the one that is supposed to be on guard over the souls that are under their charge and to give them warning when they see the evidence of infiltration by the enemy or the devil. However, in far too many instances, these people are either asleep, distracted by politics, revelry, or they can't identify it as being a threat or where it comes from. What good is a watchman if he can't identify what is a threat? What good is he if, when seeing the threat, doesn't know what to tell the people to do? For all intents and purposes, an individual like this has no business being a watchman or a preacher. The best example of how a watchman or preacher should be is the air traffic controller at our nation's airports. My hat goes off to every one of them. Every day that they're on the job, they are responsible for millions of lives in the areas of their responsibility. They have to be alert and on the ball. Any mistake or miscalculation on their part could lead to the deaths of hundreds of people in an instant. They have to see the trouble, and they have to tell the pilots of the airplanes what to do to avoid it. When I joined the Air Force, I signed up to be an air traffic controller. But after going through a series of tests, it was determined that I would not be able to get into that field. The reason being, a problem was found with my eyesight. everything has to be perfect, be in perfect order to take a position like that. The same thing goes for the watchman or preacher over God's people. He has to be on the ball all the time and be able to identify the threat and tell the people what they need to do to save themselves. The thing is, as I mentioned earlier, among other things, he has to be able to tell the difference between an attack by an enemy or punishment coming from God. There would be a big difference between our response to it. If it is coming from the devil, then rebuking it, pleading the blood of Jesus, and using all the weapons of our warfare as revealed in Ephesians chapter number 6, verses 10 through 18 is appropriate. However, if the source of this problem is directed by God, then none of these things will work and could end up costing you a lot worse. Take a look at this passage of Scripture. Acts chapter 5, Acts in the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse number 38. This is a centurion speaking to some of his people that were rounding up these individuals that they labeled as troublemakers, which were the apostles. You know, when the church was established and was beginning to spread, these people were responsible for going out and rounding these people up and bringing them to trial and things for sedition or whatever else they wanted to call it. And then a lot of times you heard about the things about Christians being put in lion's dens and being stoned and all this other stuff. All of this was the result of their trying to stamp out this, what they called, cult. Anyway, Acts chapter 5, verse number 38, one of them said to his friends, his fellow soldiers, he said, "And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God." Look at the difference between what was said in verse number 38 and verse 39. We will examine what this means as it pertains to this pandemic next month. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing out this portion of our message. Remember now, we got part number 2 coming up, where we will get further into detail about the situation that is being addressed in these passages of Scripture we have been going over. But we can see there's a whole lot here that a lot of people don't understand, because first of all, a lot of people tend to think that God is so loving and merciful and things like that, that he wouldn't allow or do anything anywhere near like what is happening with this pandemic, or what was happening with this pandemic. And I'm telling you, you don't know God when you get on the wrong side of him. Christians ought to know better, because they all they have to do is read the Old Testament and see what he did to people, and even look at the warnings that he gave in the passages of Scripture, showing that he will do exactly what they don't believe he would do. That's because they don't know him. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing out this portion of the message. And as in closing, I always like to say to you and yours, may God bless you and your families real good until we get together next time. Good day.